At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on SportsGrid on this Monday night, we take a look at the Major League Baseball board, and we bring in Rob Donaldson to help us do that. Rob, appreciate you making some time here on this Monday night. And maybe we're helping you out a little bit, pulling your eyes away from anything that the Colorado Rockies are doing right now against the Miami Marlins.
Yeah, you know, with German Marquez on the bump, you know, I thought maybe through the first 5 innings they could make this thing competitive, if not win it outright. Took a stab on their money line, plus 164 against the Marlins, and they blew up the bottom of the first inning. So now I'm just kind of hoping for a push on the back door.
we'll root that in for you. One of our producers is on the Rockies for the full game, so you'd like to see Colorado pick that up a little bit. In just a couple of minutes, we're going to begin Reds Brewers as well as Red Sox Angels. Did either of those games jump out to you?
You know, I think there's a lot of wild card factors when you look at both of those games. The Brewers are playing some of the highest Major League, you know, baseball right now. And when you're looking at Brady Singer on the bump, you know, he's a guy who's given up a lot of hard contact, and it's a nice hitting day, you know, in Cincinnati. So it's going to be interesting to see if Brady Singer can keep the ball in the park, especially against a lineup that right now with Rhys Hoskins and William Contreras and Jackson Chourio are just kind of tagging every single pitcher that they come in front of. And on the other side, Aaron Civale, I actually do think he provides a lot of value in terms of, you know, his surface ERA is a little bit high, but he's actually pitching pretty darn well on the underlying numbers. So if you do want to take a shot here, maybe take the Brewers on a money line slash run line situation.
Yeah, the Brady Singer, it's been an up and down season. The 6-3 record is better than you would think with a near 5 ERA on an under 500 baseball team, but it looks like it's been very situational there. Tyler Anderson's getting the baseball for LA on the road against the Red Sox. And Tyler Anderson is, he's a better pitcher than you think, but he can be vulnerable occasionally to a blow up spot, a tricky guy to figure out on a slate like this.
Yeah, he's a perfect pitcher who gets dealt near the deadline for practically nothing and then fills in as like a rotation sixth. Maybe he doesn't make the playoff roster, but, you know, that's just who he is at this point in his career. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, he's carved out a really nice career. He's having a little bit of like an up and down season, but he's been relatively manageable. And on the other side, Fitz has actually looked pretty darn impressive for the Red Sox. I'm like kind of target an under in this spot for the full game. I know that the Angels bullpen is pretty darn terrible, but their offense is also pretty darn terrible. And getting that extra run support near the back 4 innings, I think, is actually pretty marketable here.
Taking a look at the Giants and the Padres, it's a great series between two teams that are off to really, really strong starts. The Padres may be expected a little bit more than the Giants by the books. Yet we get to this point in the season and you put Logan Webb on the mound. I mean, we're almost at minus 200. It's minus 180 for the Giants in this game. Did you find an angle to attack this NL West battle?
Yeah, this is actually my favorite bet on the board tonight. And I am looking at that first 5 market and I'm taking the Giants on the run line. And the biggest reason why is actually Stephen Kolek on the other side. for the Padres, because the Padres offense right now is just a little bit anemic. They can't put runs up on the board. And when Kolek is taking the bump, he's actually my number one fade target in terms of the starting pitchers in Major League Baseball right now. He's kind of like one of those guys who probably shouldn't be making starts in this rotation and probably gets moved down sooner rather than later. And as long as he's making starts, you know, I think he's going to get cracked for 4 or 5 runs per outing.
The Logan Webb piece of it is interesting as well. I think he's, you know, anybody would tell you one of the 10 best pitchers in the National League. Consecutive rough outings, though, for Webb. Mm-hmm. One against the Royals where he gave up 10 hits in just 4 innings, 3 earned runs. But even against the Tigers, another 3 earned run performance, 7 hits. You just don't see consecutive starts like that for Logan Webb. I would imagine getting back home, this could be a dominant effort. I played the under 7 just for the game, thinking we maybe see Kolek do enough. Maybe I'll regret not just playing a Padres, you know, team total under here. But I am expecting Logan Webb to really shine in this spot tonight. It just looks like a great bounce back spot, Rob.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Obviously, Oracle is a very pitcher-friendly ballpark. And, you know, to your point, he did kind of get dinked and dunked for a few earned runs the last 2 times out. And a lot of them were just kind of sharply hit singles or bloopers and not a ton of overall damage in terms of kind of long-term concern for Logan Webb. And I do think that the Padres lineup, again, this is a lineup that's just kind of swinging outside of its shoes right now. It's relying on Gavin Sheets to just go yard and Fernando Tatis to go yard and Manny Machado to go yard. But in between all that, you know, throughout the rest of the game, they're not really getting base runners on board. And I feel like that's a perfect recipe for Logan Webb to go out there and have a really nice game.
Let's talk about the A's and the Twins, because all of these prices consistently suggest that, you know, out there in Sacramento, it's kind of Coors Jr. I'm taking a chance on this under 9.5 tonight. It's not the most confident bet I've ever had, despite being my best bet on the show here. Kind of gives you an idea where we sit on this Monday slate. I'm taking a chance on it. Did you find anything worth taking a chance in this game on?
Yeah, I'm kind of similarly to the Giants. I really like a Twins first 5 run line in this spot. And it kind of goes back to the same sort of logic where I think Joe Ryan is one of the more underrated pitchers in baseball right now, consistently going 6 or 7 innings strong, 1 earned or less runs given up in multiple different outings. And he has been this way for a couple of years now, but this kind of feels like a true breakout season for Joe Ryan. And on the other side, Luis Severino, you know, he hasn't been giving up a lot of earned runs, but he's been giving up a lot of hard contact. And eventually, I do feel like that's going to give way. It's more likely to give way in Sacramento than not. And for that reason, I do think the Twins put up some runs early here.
Yeah, I think there's the worry and where this bet could go wrong, because I think that on their day, Severino and Joe Ryan are two pitchers that you don't mind backing. It only takes one to have that nightmare start, and this game ends 8-3. Either direction, for your sake, I know you certainly hope that would be Minnesota. The best game on the board, it's got to be Dodgers-Mets, Rob. Before we let you get out of here, it's Dustin May and Paul Blackburn. Blackburn making his first start of the season. Anything Dodgers-Mets?
You know, I look at Paul Blackburn and I actually see a lot of value potentially, because this was a guy that last year had a high ERA, but had a lot of really good underlying numbers that I think he could build on this year. And when you look at Dustin May, he's been typically going out there and delivering a quality start time in, time again. Right now, you're seeing a 9, 9.5 total out there. And I really do believe in not only the starters in this game, but the bullpen to kind of patch up the rest of the game here. And I think it could fall even below a 7.5 type line. So if you want to take that under of 9, that's actually one of my more confident bets on the board there.
All right. So under 9, Dodgers, Mets. And again, a game certainly I'm interested to watch there, from the World Series rematch to a little NLCS rematch. Rob, we appreciate the time as always, man. Best of luck here on this Monday night slate.
Hey, thank you, man, and have a great rest of your show.
All right, great stuff there as always from Rob, helping us get ready here, where on a Monday night it really is. It's Major League Baseball, and if you're feeling frisky, it's college baseball. First time in a long time. I don't know how often I bring this up on air, but we had you know, one of our TVs in here. We got a game on. Producers love giving me a game you can't find odds on anywhere. Murray State Ole Miss at least feels somewhat relevant as the Racers are up on the Revs. We'll be right back with you here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Live on this Monday night, it is Game Time Decisions, and it is an early lead for the Los Angeles Angels. Zach Neto goes deep. I almost bet Boston to score first. I did mention it. I didn't play it. There you go, L.A. Scored first. As early as you possibly could. So far, that's Yerfy to start this slate out. We're early doors, Cincinnati-Milwaukee. Still 3-1 Miami up on the Colorado Rockies. Just to let everybody know, the baseball card for me tonight, and some of this is already begun here on this Monday, but I am going to play a Devers Alonso each to get 2+ hit run RBI parlay. We have those boosts out there, as well as the yes runs first inning in Dodgers Mets at +115. I am on the under in A's Twins at 9.5 and the under on Giants Padres at 7.5. And I'm also taking a little shot on the White Sox, but at +2.5 -131. I contemplated going money line. We're under $2, though. That didn't feel good enough. If you look at Jonathan Cannon for the White Sox, if you get 2.5 in each of his 3 home starts, you're checking in a tidy little 3-0. And I think that maybe tells the story a little bit on Cannon this season, and maybe why I feel he's a little bit better than some of the numbers suggest. He has a 1.17 ERA this season at home, an ERA above 5 on the road. He's made 8 starts on the road, or 6 starts, 8 appearances on the road, just the 3 home starts. So I think we've got ourselves a nice little spot here for Jonathan Cannon, in a spot where let's see if Jack Flaherty can do it again. Great outing against the Giants, 6 innings of shutout baseball, just 2 hits. But prior to that, 4 earned, 4 earned, 5 earned, 2 earned, 3 earned. He's the better pitcher. Tigers are the better team. Are they 3 runs better here on this Monday? I'll challenge it. And just to quickly reset for everyone in case you are just tuning in, some moonshots, some best bets. The crew is, of course, involved. And that those pieces of action, best bets. For myself, A's Twins under the 9.5. That's a -110. Casino Chris goes Juan Soto late night over the 1.5. Hit run RBI. AJ with the Rockies money line at +165. Yes, you can get better right now. No, the door is not closed. And then LSU laying 5.5. Again, that's -135 juice. Should be there with a game for a total of 14.5. If you are captivated by the college baseball, the super duper regionals are going on. If you're really invested, there are some games on right now. As far as some moonshots, longer odds, everything's 4-1 or better here. I did take a chance on Rockies Marlins being the highest scoring game. That's a +650. Soto and Ohtani to combine for 2 home runs, 6-1. You got a lot of different paths to cashing that wager. I think that's worth a shot. Kyle Stowers to go deep. That game again underway. I assume if he did, I would know. I'll double check. He did not. Does he have any hit run RBI? Nope. That's all right. Early doors. William Contreras for a home run plus 420. It might as well be Dinger Tuesday. Spoiler? You want a spoiler for Dinger Tuesday? Talking with the crew when we came in? On that graphic? Tomorrow? Probably going to see Jack Caglione. As the Royals made the only logical decision, which is to call up one of the most hyped prospects in some time. I don't think it's Skeens level. I don't know how much further away it is. And similar to when Skeens was called up, they immediately moved that number. Jack Caglione in the American League Rookie of the Year race just a couple of days ago was around 45-1. I didn't know the books were doing that because they thought Cags would only appear on this team in late July. It turns out they were quite surprised to see Jack Caglione called up, or they were anticipating the call-up was going to lead to a swath of bets. He's now 12-1, the second best odds. Now, a portion of that is odds. The next three guys are Jason Dominguez, Will Warren, Cam Smith. Will Warren, okay, get real. Jason Dominguez, Cam Smith, probably not. You then get just it's like the entire Red Sox organization, including Roman Anthony, who I also believe is not even up yet. So, moving Caglione makes sense. Moving through Jacob Wilson, easier said than done. We've talked about it quite a bit on our show tonight, but just seemingly how vulnerable Sacramento, where the A's are playing, is, that could be the boost that Jacob Wilson needs. Now, that would be a little unfair to the start he's had for this season. He has more home run and more RBI so far on the road than home this year. He is batting 375 this season at home. He's also batting 357 overall. So Jacob Wilson is having an incredible start, and it's going to be difficult to push him off that status. The incredible thing for Jack Caglione is I don't feel his arrival is all about hype and rookie of the year. It's about hype and getting the Kansas City Royals to the playoffs and then seeing what damage can be done from there. It's a Royals team that finds themselves now actually fourth in the AL Central. Central's good this year. Eight games back of the Detroit Tigers. Tigers are good this year. When we talk to wild card spots, it's jumbled and it's going to be a lot of teams in the race. This Royals team, it feels like they have the pitching if they're healthy. Bobby Witt can't be a one-man show in that lineup. He maybe has a dance partner now with Jack Caglione. Take a break. Come on back with you here on SportsGrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live in the right here, we're on Sports Grid. It is Game Time Decisions. The NBA Finals are set. It's going to be the Pacers, and it is, of course, going to be the Oklahoma City Thunder. There were moments in the series where I felt somewhat preoccupied defending what felt like the inevitable Pacers-Thunder series from the people who don't really like basketball, who are going to, you know, talk about ratings for some reason, as if that is the, you know, bar. Very silly stuff. People who just don't really like the NBA. It did blind me a little bit, though, that Thunder Knicks would have been a lot of fun. I actually think it would have been really interesting to watch Lou Dort, Caruso, and Kasan Wallace see what they could do with Jalen Brunson, who still keeps a very high floor in the postseason and hits high ceilings too. No anti-Brunson commentary in this portion of it all. The Karl Anthony Towns versus Chet Holmgren battle would have been way up my alley. The Thunder would have still been huge favorites. It would have been stunning if they didn't win. The biggest thing, though, that the Knicks would have brought to the table, I think I realized, is OG Anunoby guarding Jalen Williams is something that if you were the Knicks, you'd feel really good about. You would absolutely take your chances that that is a matchup OG could win. And that's not a slight to Jalen Williams. OG Anunoby is one of the most impactful wing defenders in the league. And if you look at this postseason for OKC, round one, and obviously it's not going to be, you know, Memphis was never winning the series, but 23 a game for Jalen Williams, 54% from the floor. Against Minnesota, 22 a game, 49% from the floor, 46% from three. The outlier series for J-Dub was against Denver, where he averaged 17.5% on 38% from the field. And those were all numbers elevated with an excellent closeout performance against the Nuggets, 24-5-7 on 59% from the field. It is incredible that the best game Jalen Williams has played maybe in this whole postseason was actually a loss for OKC, and I'm not going to gloss over that. But his performance is so tied to how OKC runs, and specifically on the offensive side of the ball. It was a mistake that I really thought the Minnesota Timberwolves made in the series was assigning Jaden McDaniels to SGA. It's who they are. It's what they do. And they don't break from it. Sometimes if you're not willing to adjust and you just double down on these things, you put yourself in a bad spot. Jaden McDaniels had nothing for Shea. And then therefore Minnesota had nothing else for J-Dub. And you get that. You get a situation where OKC's offense was machine-like. I bring this up because I go through the matchups for Indiana when they're attempting to stop OKC and what percentage of the time can they actually feel like they can do that. And when you're going starter for starter, which means Pascal's on Chet and Miles Turner's probably on Isaiah Hartenstein, and you're trying to stick Halliburton over on Lou Dort, it means Nembhard's going to go out there and take Shea. And all of a sudden, Aaron Nesmith, who's had a very, very good postseason, stock way up. But Nesmith is not 100%. We know that. And if Nesmith is tasked with guarding J-Dub for super long stretches of this series, it feels like that could be a bit problematic, where if you can get Pascal on him and try and bother him with length, like we kind of saw Aaron Gordon do a little bit for Denver, and what I wanted to see Jaden McDaniels do for Minnesota tactically, I didn't actually want that. I bet the Thunder to win the West at certain points in this postseason, but just tactically what I thought would have been the best chance. Becomes very interesting if OKC going small is to Indiana's benefit. Early finals thoughts are with you right here on a Monday night.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Major League Baseball updates quickly. 6-0 Angels jump all over the Red Sox. Trout with a 3-run homer. Joe Adele tacked one on. 3 home runs in that inning for the LA Angels, which is incredible, to say the least. 4-2 Miami, 2-0 Reds up on Milwaukee. 3-0 to the Urphy, if you are playing it that direction. Some updates in the National Football League today. There were Probably two big things that you saw. One, a lot more important on the field. The other, a lot more off the field. Off the field, or on the field, rather, we'll begin. Frank Ragnow retired. And that is really important. And it's one of those things that when you combine it with the timing, I don't know if it's going to land the way it probably should for everyone's analysis around the Detroit Lions. Frank Ragnow out of Arkansas, who was, I think, seven seasons into his Lion career, has been one of the best centers in football for at least 5 years. Pro Football Focus, he graded second a season ago and first the season before that. After his rookie season, he graded sixth or better every single year at his position on Pro Football Focus, just to give a bit of a gauge, because, you know, when it comes certainly to offensive line play, I can't throw out 100 catches or, you know, 1,000 rushing yards. So you lean on some things of that nature. And to lose a center is obviously a tough thing that we saw the Philadelphia Eagles able to avoid being any type of disaster. Kelce retires. They win the Super Bowl. Obviously, Kelce was not holding this team back. What Kelce was doing was prepping, you know, really Cam Jurgens to step in and be the guy whenever it was going to be time for Kelce to retire. And that's what he was. And the Philadelphia Eagles, you know, especially with their bookend tackles, remained one of the best offensive lines in football. The thing with Philly, and I think versus Detroit, and the reason why the Eagles, I believe, are one of the best football teams we've ever seen, while having that dominant offensive line, there are so many other position groups that you were able to point to and feel so incredible about. The Eagles had the best running back in football last season. They had one of the best wide receiver cores in football. They have top 10 quarterback play from Jalen Hurts, and that's just the offensive side of the ball. The Philadelphia Eagles were the best defense in the league by a lot when it was all said and done. The Detroit Lions offseason has not been a fun one, because it is not fun when you lose two coordinators that make up your identity as much as Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn. And if you, again, are comparing the Lions and the Eagles made a Super Bowl, and they lost Shane Steichen and Jonathan Gannon. And the next season started incredible, finished so bad they nearly fired Nick Sirianni. They had to get rid of all of the coordinators, and they had to bring in new guys, and the Philadelphia Eagles found themselves in the playoffs. A part of me wonders, what if, after they lost to Kansas City, if they lost Jason Kelce that same season and had that stretch of football that they had, would it have resonated a little bit differently in Philadelphia? Because they obviously bounced back in the best fashion you could by dominantly winning a Super Bowl. But again, for Detroit, you lose the defensive identity that Aaron Glenn brings to the table. You lose the offensive identity that Ben Johnson brings to the table. And if you're the Lions, what are you going to hang your hat on? Certainly the toughness that is Dan Campbell, the aggressiveness that Dan Campbell brings.
Is Dan Campbell as good as Nick Sirianni? Obviously not, unless you are inaccurately ranking coaches, which seemingly is mandatory for everybody who does coach rankings. Because I don't know how you argue Dan Campbell is better than Nick Sirianni at all. Certainly, I don't know how you do it coherently. But the deal is, we now get to find out with Dan Campbell over the next few seasons with those departures. But I think Detroit is more reliant on their great offensive line in their building than Philadelphia was. I also wonder, when you look at Philly, they were able to look around, and Mailata and Lane Johnson is as good as it gets at the tackle positions. The makeup, I feel very often, for Detroit was Penny Sewell and Frank Ragnow. I understand Taylor Decker has been playing great football, you know, or good football for this team for a while, but it's really been Ragnow and Sewell that have been at an all-pro type level. So I think you could very easily argue Detroit had less room to lose than Philadelphia did when Kelce retired. And again, a June retirement where does Frank Ragnow retiring make every show today? Yeah. Does it make any show tomorrow? No. And how many people 2 weeks from now go, hey, tell me the biggest thing that's happened with Detroit this offseason? How many things do they list before they remember Ragnow's not there? How many people, when they're breaking down the Lions going into next season, like, one of the best offensive lines in football? Well, where is it now? It's not one. Is it two? Is it three? Is it four? If the Lions all of a sudden go from arguably the best line in football to the 9th, 10th, 11th best line in football, can they survive that? I guess we'll find out. The early thought for me sounds a little much. Sounds a little much. And I mentioned there were two pieces of NFL news, one on, one off, and involves the other team that, you know, I mentioned throughout this process, and the Philadelphia Eagles seeing Saquon Barkley grace the cover of Madden. And that's just awesome. And it is deserved, as Saquon Barkley really was the star of this past NFL season. I think really take the whole thing into account, Mahomes would have been had they finished it off with the Super Bowl, but it was really Saquon's year, even if he wasn't dominant in the Super Bowl. And I think one of the reasons it was Saquon's year is the iconic moment wasn't even from the playoff run, but a Sunday afternoon in Philadelphia that just so happened to have OK Dubs in attendance, where he jumped backwards over a Jackson Jaguar. One for the history. Be right back. We're live here on Sports.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game time decisions. We're live with you all at SportsGrid. We're now joined by Dave Sharapan. Consig, it's great to see you on this Monday. Detroit Tiger gear.
Oh, yeah.
I play the White Sox plus 2.5. What do we think?
I don't mind that. They're okay. Not winning the game tonight. They're not winning the game tonight. And they may not cover the initial run line, but taking 2.5 is not a bad idea. Only because you get the Tigers after a really high leverage series against the Royals. They only scored no runs on Saturday. Scooble loss. Unbelievable. They took them out after 90 pitches. Who knows why? And then they win 1-0 yesterday. So you may be catching the Tigers on a good night with plus 2.5. I don't mind that play at all.
The mention, by the way, of that series, Tigers-Royals, I don't, again, I right now am seeing baseball through the friendliest glasses I have seen this sport. Those teams traded 1-0 victories. I thought it was beautiful. I thought it was sensational. I also thought it was a set of games that really should put Chris Bubich actually in that Cy Young conversation. You know, Dave, I talk to the guys here all the time. Can I simultaneously believe Tarik Skubal is amazing and the best pitcher in the league while also disagreeing with his minus 160 price currently to win Cy Young?
I would be disappointed in you if you didn't do that, Kevin, because you always do that. You disagree a lot of times with the heavy favorite prices. And you should, because as long as Tarik Skubal is healthy and continues to do what he does, he's probably going to win. But one tweak, miss a start or two, miss a month, who knows what, and you have a multitude of guys like that behind him who you could grab a nice price on to be alive. So I don't have a problem with you having a problem with that price at all.
Here's my thing. So when we talk like, hey, if there's an injury, like that's the whole Judge case that people try to make. If the season ended today, I don't think Tarik Skubal wins Cy Young. If the season ended today, Aaron Judge would win MVP unanimously.
Yes.
I don't think that's some current. Look, I'm not saying that baseball, you can pick your numbers. But ERA, Tarik Skubal right now ranks 7th at a 2.26. There are 6 pitchers right now, all with 12 starts, who are currently under a 2 in terms of ERA. Wow. Bubich, Eovaldi, Tyler Molly, Hunter Brown, Max Fried, Garrett Crochet. And I'm not telling you that it's a clean sweep of those guys all in front of Skubal, right? But Garrett Crochet now, and he has pitched a little bit more than Skubal, but he's got to beat on ERA, and he's got to beat on K's at the moment. So, and I know Boston's struggling. I don't think if the Tigers win 100 games, that shouldn't help Skubal win Cy Young. Because that's not, like, Skeens is the favorite in the NL.
It might help him win votes, Kevin. That's the thing. It shouldn't. I don't always think it should translate, but sometimes it does in the voters' eyes. And that's what these markets are, is we're handicapping voters. And we don't know what they're actually weighing in on or weighing more than the other. So, by the way, it's 2-0 Tigers in the first inning. We got to get out of there if you're got the White Sox.
All right.
Don't want to get this thing blown open too quickly.
I'll be honest. We were expecting to be covering at the end of the first.
That was a part
of the game plan.
That'd be all right. Yeah.
You know?
We'll see.
That's what we were thinking. That's you know, when we were mapping this whole thing out, it was not go down 3-0.
No.
It was not. 2-0? No. All right. Maybe we're lulling it in since security, but... By the way, Dave, let me ask you something quickly. You mentioned, you know, award favorites. You know, and I was talking with Donnie on Moneyline this afternoon, and he mentioned kind of Judge, one thing here, one thing there. I said, first of all, I think he could miss a month, he still wins the award. That's not the point. I make my Skubal case because I can tell you right now, Hunter Brown, Garrett Crochet, and Chris Bubich all feel super real. If I told you, hey, we're going to post odds who's going to finish 2nd in AL MVP, there's no guy. Kyle Raleigh's got this number, 25-1. Nobody's betting that. Bobby Witt's got the 30-1 price. He's actually having almost a somewhat down season. And then we go 90-1 J-Ram, $120, Gunnar Henderson, Vladdy Jr., Hafield Devers, the 230 batting average of J-Rod. I mean, what's... My only thing is, if you want to fade Judge, find a book that has the no, and then you're betting on the injury. And that's okay. But being like, okay, I'm going to grab Cal Raleigh. What if Judge gets injured? Well, if Judge gets injured and then you have Cal Raleigh, you're going to go, well, now we need Cal Raleigh to win this thing. I don't know about that.
I don't either. I mean, what do you? I'm scrolling now the list. I mean, do you go Jose Ramirez? Do you go? Geez, no. Devers is hitting the crap out of the ball, and he's carrying the Red Sox offensively. No. Julio Rodriguez in the way down there. I don't even think the Mariners are going to win that division. I don't know. That's a wild. That's a wild, wild market.
That's Kevin. You don't have a Tatis, no. a PCA, a Corbin nope. Carroll. The way nope. some of those guys are playing right now, I don't. So again, I understand. You see Judge at that number, it feels ridiculous. $200 to win a dollar on an award in June. I get it. There's no guy to make a case for. He is currently right. unanimous. If we ended the NL MVP market, do I think Shohei would win it? Yeah. Unanimously? Probably not. Probably not. And that there's a, and those are the gaps of it all, right? So when we're trying to figure out the prices, you know, again, what do you want the Judge number to be? I was, you know, minus 1,000? No, for what? Right. Like, I'm not doing that. Like, that's it's his award. All right, we're going to shoot a little questions out, remind yes. you of the best bets, and talk a little bit about the Knicks. Their season coming to a close here on
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, with you right here on this Monday night. Consig, anything for the people? Of course, in-game live coming up in just a couple of moments right here on SportsGrid.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we'll be focused on the 7 baseball games that are going on right now or starting later. West Coast baseball takes precedence tonight. San Diego and San Francisco, good NL West matchup. But the game of the night, obviously, no, it's not the White Sox and the Tigers, although the Tigers are going to win. And this orange D looks amazing. And it's not Minnesota and the A's. It's, yes, the Mets and the Dodgers. Yankees, got beat up pretty good in 2 games, but then left with leaving them with a, you know, something to think about, which was good. The Mets come into this game, Kevin, from calendar year June 3rd to calendar year today, June 2nd. The New York Mets have the best record in baseball. I did not know that.
Good team.
This will be one of those nights where you saw some prices on the Dodgers against the Yankees. They were dogs twice, and they won both times. I'm not saying 160 is light, but 150 now is what the market is here. Mets, baby. Mets might be live tonight.
All right. A little love for the Mets. A little love for New York. Consig, we appreciate it. Yeah. As always, of course, join us here again in game live. Consig and Wetz will be there. You know, some love for New York. I've not heard a lot of that recently. Here's a spoiler. Game time discussions will come out sometime this week. You get to Wheel of the Week. Luckily, I was in the room to stand up for New York. With that said, here's what Deuce McBride had to say after the Knicks were eliminated by the Indiana Pacers.
Is it too soon to kind of put into perspective kind of what the season was? I know you just ended up, you know, losing right now. Is it too soon to kind of put that into perspective?
Yeah, definitely. You know, we didn't have any plans, so obviously losing this game, we felt really confident coming in. But overall, as a season, yeah, like I said, it felt like a lot of stuff throughout the year just got exposed now.
So here's the deal with those comments from Deuce. They were honest. The thing with honesty from athletes, while we appreciate it, we have to evaluate what was exposed. You'd like to think it was probably about the defensive side of the basketball. That would put an eye seemingly directly on Karl Anthony Towns. It could maybe have to do with the coach, game plan, substitution patterns. That puts an eye on Tom Thibodeau. The Knicks making the conference finals preseason. That's a job well done, gentlemen. Let's get them next year. The Knicks making the conference finals and losing for the second season in a row to the Indiana Pacers, despite being favored and having home court in the advantage in the series, that's a different story. And that leads to articles like the one that The Athletic dropped. And I'm not even sure the final buzzer rang on that game before they sent that whole thing out. And that piece, when you're trying to figure out who's in the crosshairs, seems a lot more players than coach. They're saying if Tibbs gets fired, that's all on James Dolan. But if Leon Rose has his way, Tibbs is going nowhere. Brunson is more than going nowhere, which means Josh Hart's more than going nowhere. Mikal Bridges is probably going nowhere. The article made it very clear. The odd man out is Karl Anthony Towns. And the comments that we saw within that piece included that the coaches were frustrated with Cat's defensive habits. And maybe that they didn't feel they could be harsh and critical on the player when mistakes were being made. I personally do not think that Karl Anthony Towns in his first season as a New York Knick making all NBA and that team going to the conference finals should have the main takeaway being defensive struggles against the Pacers and pick and roll coverage. But if that's the main takeaway from the New York Knicks, then the only option for us is to make a cat list and figure out how many different teams in the NBA will call the Knicks, and the Knicks will call back if they look to actually shake this roster up and move Towns. Because outside of that, I don't think anybody else seems to be on the chopping block despite that disappointing result. Best bets on the way out. Soto, LSU, under A's Twins. Wake it up, Rockies. Wake it up. In-game live is next.